Well, guys, welcome back to another episode of Racecast after, well, just another scintillating weekend of tense Formula One racing, spending 90 minutes questioning who's going to win, who's going to come up with points, how the hell is this race going to end? Obviously, if you couldn't tell by my incredibly monotone, boring sounding voice, that was not the case. You know, we got the all-time battle for P7. You know, that was intense. For the last five laps, it was shit, it was pretty boring.
You got to remember, for P10, was Stroll going to get Tsunoda? You know,
yeah, that was looking incredibly likely, wasn't it? You know, when he's 5 seconds off with like two laps to go, I really thought he had him there. You know, it is what it is. What I don't want to do is come onto this podcast and just complain about it every week. But my God, I'm just getting sick of just like nothing happening. Like, there being absolutely nothing for us to be like, holy shit, like, there's not even like glimmers of like, oh, might someone else win? You know, oh, are we actually going to have a close battle? I'm sorry. I've spoken to multiple people who actually thought that was a good race. And I think, yeah, you're deluded. Like, I think you think it's a good race. And I'm not talking about Matt here. I think you think it's a good race because we've been subjected to so many bad races that actually this one had some overtaking in.
Yeah.
That's because there was offsets on strategies. So, of course, you're going to see overtakes, but they're not... they're not like overtakes. They're like, well, he's on 10 lap fresher tires. Obviously, he's going to overtake him. They're on different strategies. So it wasn't racing, but just because we saw more overtakes, I think some people thought, oh, that was actually not a bad race. It was a bad race.
No, they were on the, you know, the Michael Massey strategy. You know, those tires are worn. Oh, it's looking good. Oh, he's going to overtake him. He's on fresher tires. He's going to overtake him. That type of stuff.
I think
it's difficult in the sense of when you're, I'm watching what's on your TV and I don't know what's actually happening. It's really confusing. I think it's really difficult when you do get up early, you're F1 fans, you just want a good race. And after qualifying, a lot of people are kind of going.
At 4:30, by the way, on that Sunday morning.
Were you?
See, not by choice, but because I was then up and it was so close, I was like, well, I might as well watch it.
Yeah. I got up at 10 to 7, and lucky I did because I obviously missed a whole red flag. So
The red flag was 15 minutes, though.
Yeah, okay. But by the time I got up and went to watch it, I realised my Sky wasn't working because the satellite had gone, so it didn't record. So I ended up having to download Sky Go on my laptop and watch it on my laptop, which was really irritating. Especially at that time in the morning, you're kind of like, I just want to watch F1. So by the time I got on to like lap 17. So I watched, you know, lap 17 to the end.
You didn't miss anything.
No, exactly.
You missed absolutely nothing. I mean, look, in a nutshell, you know, I know we'll go over everything, but great for Yuki Tsunoda to get points.
Yep.
It was... kind of nothing really too shocking happened. It was a good drive from Leclerc on the mediums when he did that long stint. Flawless from Max again.
Sergio's doing is being consistent. He's doing exactly what they want as a number two.
Yeah, he was a great great number two driver.
Yeah.
Lewis had that damage that slowed him down.
Yeah.
Let George by, fine. George was quicker. It was just uneventful. That's the thing. Like, I sit back and I think, what can I tell you about this race that happened? Probably the best thing that happened in that race was Sauber didn't have like a 15-second pit stop.
Yeah.
That it was still slow. It was like 4 seconds.
Yeah. Well, it's progress, isn't it? Progress. Before we get in just to dissecting the race,
well, actually, before we get into anything,
yeah,
make sure you follow us on TikTok, Instagram, the other one, Twitter, or X, as it's now known. Just search Racecast. Slack Jackson, that's what I'm going to call you.
Why?
Or Matt Slackson. Hmm. Where are the reels?
I've done a couple.
One.
No, two.
Two.
Did two on Saturday. Danny Rick one. Carlos Sainz, the Lewis Hamilton one.
So the reason I haven't uploaded a video is because I haven't had the camera this week, but I have it from now. So
that's cool. Also, let's not talk about the reels. Let's talk about the actual upload of the episode.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not being funny. I want to thank you guys. And I'll go through some of the messages on here because, to
guys,
be fair...
you could have told us quicker.
Well, to be fair to them, I think they did.
Oh, was it you?
No, it wasn't me.
Well, did you tell me...
Good old Alfie Knight. I told you as soon as I found out. So, lads, the new episode has that tapping sound again. So there was that one.
Okay, right. Just let me explain.
Hang on. Let me go through some of these. Jacob, hi, lads. Just listened to your most recent podcast, and there seems to be a slow clicking noise, like a metronome.
No way did that motherfucker listen to the whole thing.
It's not a headphone problem, because I've tried multiple listening devices, so I think this is a problem you're in. Thanks. Jacob, you're a ledge for actually... going through and changing her headphones. Nathan Moore, the new episode has some weird background noise. Thank you, Nathan. Kieran.
Weird background noise. It's not background noise, is it? There's a clear error.
Well, it is a clear error. And yeah, so thank you to you guys for actually letting us know, because it was you who, you know, Luke obviously shows he doesn't listen to it back. He just edits it and uploads it. So
So basically the issue is if the metronome, so I just, because it's easiest to just do it in GarageBand, because, like, I've always worked with GarageBand and Logic anyway, so yeah. So I just drop them into GarageBand. But this is such a fucking stupid feature. Obviously, you've never recorded music before, but when you record music, you record to a metronome. So you can set the BPM, and it comes on as standard, because... You simply wouldn't want to record music without a metronome. However, when you're exporting whatever you've recorded, whether it's a song or whether it's just these two audio files that I put together, why on earth would I want it to export with the fucking metronome on? No one, absolutely no one wants that. There's a reason you don't put the radio on and hear... it's because no one wants to hear it. So I don't know why this is a feature. So if I forget to turn it off manually, which is really easy, it's just the click of a button, but it's not really like front of mind.
Yeah.
Then it exports with it. So I know I don't need to listen to the audio back, because I listen to like the first little bit of audio just to make sure all the levels are good.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's that basically. So there'll be no click this week. So there's a reason to give us 5 stars. Give us 5 stars right now, because there's no metronome during this podcast.
But thank you for letting us know. It is appreciated that you actually listen to the podcast. So,
well, people do listen to the podcast.
No, and that's why it's good, because we get told by you guys. So it's nice. But let's quickly dissect Japan, shall we? Because
yeah, it will be quick.
It will be quick, because qualifying. For all you people who are getting excited about the fact that, you know, Lewis was up there in like P2 on FP2, it was raining. No one did anything. There was nothing.
And for all you people, Mercedes fans, that actually get excited about Mercedes free practice results, it's time to give it a rest, because they're clearly not indicative.
No.
You know, this is how it normally looks for Merck. FP1, P13, P17, FP2, P9, P10, FP3, first and second. The race, P8, P9. That's how it looks every week. So,
hang on, P7, P9.
It's just as bad though, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Like, you know, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it's me that, because I support Lewis and I see him down there, maybe that's why I don't enjoy it. But I think back to some of the great races, especially, like I said, like, you know, everyone knows that listens. Recently, I've been watching all the old seasons back. And I just think of some of the great races where there were cars that were better. You know, we think of like Sebastian Vettel winning four world championships in a row. They weren't, I think one of them was like one where he ran away with it.
Yeah.
The other three, you know, like Lewis came very close to winning one of them. Alonso could have won one of them. It was, there was battles and there was different winners. And
But you had, this is, I was talking to someone about this the other day, and it was quite interesting in the sense of, you know, you had seasons where you had dominance from drivers, but you also had challenges. Look at that season, and I've been watching stuff back with, you know, Vettel and Webber, multi-21. You know, you had drama, so it made it exciting. You still had different winners. You had challenges. It was close. And don't get me wrong, every now and then you had a driver pull away and all of that stuff. But you were allowed to race in rain. You were allowed to race in different conditions. It didn't matter. We're now in a place where actually we've got a dominant driver, a dominant team. We're not allowed to race in rain. What are we doing? Yeah. What's exciting about the sport?
Yeah, there really is nothing. Like at this point in time, there's genuinely, I wouldn't have woken up for Japan if I hadn't have just randomly woken up at 4:30 and not been able to get back to sleep.
Is that normal?
What?
Randomly waking up at 4:30?
Well, I mean, normally I can get back to sleep.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, so.
Were you thinking about the Dutch national anthem?
I was thinking about how much I really don't want to be awake to watch the Grand Prix. But, and then, do you know what the annoying thing was? Is obviously it red flagged, right? So I was just watching it on my phone in bed. And so I was like, all right, I'll just shut my eyes. I got back to sleep and then fucking Crofty woke me up with lights out and away we go. So like I had to watch it then because I was like, no, I'm going to turn over and go to sleep. Turned over and then I was just listening. So I was like, fine, I'll watch it. But here's the thing, like China, right? I should be really excited for China.
Yeah.
We haven't raced there for years now.
4 years, I think.
Yeah. And I personally think it's a great track. But I'm just not really excited for it. I just think like, well, I can tell you what's going to happen already. Yeah. So why am I going to watch it? There's going to be absolutely no surprises in this race at China. Mm. And I hope nothing more that this gets clipped up and I look like an idiot in 2 weeks' time. But it's just simply not going to happen.
No. Let's try and put a bit of a positive spin on it at the moment, shall we? Let's talk about the race, because qualifying is qualifying. Well, that's fine. You know, good by Sergio Perez. Lando Norris looked good. But let's talk about the start of the race. It took, and you know, there's a lot of pressure on Danny Ric at the moment, in the sense of he is being outperformed by Yuki Tsunoda. He has got no points on the board. The only way he's actually been able to beat Tsunoda at this moment in time is being told by team orders to do so. He got out-qualified again by Tsunoda this weekend. He didn't make it into Q3. There's a lot of pressure on this man's shoulders at the moment. And when you're looking at it, what he needed this weekend was a clean race. And he did not even get to turn three, and he was in an accident with Alex Albon. And I'm a bit unsure because, you know, we spoke about this briefly the other day, didn't we? I think it, yes, okay, on levels it's a racing incident, but he, as an experienced driver, and you're going into, well, you know, you're surrounded by cars, you don't just pull over to the right-hand side expecting no one to be there, surely.
I mean, it is a racing incident in the sense of, like, it wasn't like, I don't necessarily think anyone should have been penalised for it. But it was Danny Ric's fault.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember, is it Anthony Davidson on commentary just saying like, oh, there's no one really at fault there. Like, it's just a racing incident. And it's like, is it? Because, I mean, if you change lane in a motorway without checking your mirrors and you swipe someone's front end, that would be your fault.
That's driving incident.
Now, I know racing is very different. That's probably a shit analogy. But my point is like, he looked left and then just darted over to the right to take the racing line without even looking in his mirrors when we're in what, turn two of...
I understand if you're...
The start of the race.
I understand if you're like lap 10 in and there's not as many cars around you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is like a prime example of you're surrounded by other cars who are trying to get that, you know, good exit through there, trying to, you know, create enough space.
You're going to have people left and right of you because that's just how it is at the start. And he just hasn't looked. And I think it kind of just epitomizes Danny Rick, doesn't it? In the sense of like, you know, he's kind of just lost it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. You know, we've spoken about him. I mean, he's been pretty much our content flywheel for the, since the start of this season. But, you know, I don't want it to sound like we're giving him a hard time, but it's kind of like...
Have you seen...
Come on.
Have you seen all of the memes of Danny Rick? So there's pictures of Danny Rick being interviewed and behind is Liam Lawson. And they were like, always watch behind you and all of this stuff. Like this poor guy is just...
No, I genuinely believe... I actually didn't see any post-race interviews from Danny Rick. But I'd be interested to see what his demeanour was like.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen anything.
But his days... I think his days genuinely have to be numbered at this point.
I would agree with you. Interestingly, looking at news-wise, Ferrari rethinking Hamilton signing as F1 now considering return. I mean, this has surely got to be bollocks.
Wait, what? Wait, read that again.
A former member of the Ferrari team has suggested that the 2024 season will be a difficult watch for whoever decides to replace Carlos Sainz with Lewis Hamilton. Got worse.
Read that headline out again. That didn't come out right.
Ferrari rethinking Hamilton signing as F1 legend now considering return.
Well, I assume they're talking about Seb.
Seb, yeah.
What? So they would be better off putting Seb in that seat, would they?
No.
Is that what this is going on to say?
Sebastian Vettel has spoken about an appealing return to Formula One following rumours of a stunning comeback. It is a very bizarre... Oh, they're basically saying, are Ferrari reconsidering signing Lewis Hamilton of how good Carlos Sainz has been this start of the season? And actually, where does that leave someone like Sebastian Vettel, who actually surprisingly is being linked with Mercedes? Which I can't see happening at all. And from the interviews I've seen from Sebastian, he said, well, look, when I retired. But if I was coming back to a team which I felt like I could do something with, it'd be an appealing return.
Well, so it won't be Mercedes then.
No, exactly.
Do
you think Ferrari are regretting the signing of Lewis Hamilton?
No. I don't see how you could regret signing a 7-time world champion the same way in which did Aston Martin regret losing Seb and getting Fernando Alonso?
No.
You know, would anyone regret signing Max Verstappen? You know, there are just a certain... And this is no disrespect to Carlos Sainz, because, yeah, he's really doing well at the moment. But we're, what, 5 races in?
Yeah.
You know, let's wait and see. And I personally don't think there was ever any doubts over Carlos Sainz. Like, I genuinely just assumed him and Leclerc were going to be teammates for a good while.
Yeah, me too.
But when the opportunity comes to onboard someone like Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton is statistically the greatest driver of all time, right? You cannot deny that.
Nope.
It's fact. Now, people that actually understand F1 will know that he's had so many battles throughout his whole career where he's come out on top. And then, you know, a lot of people would just refer to maybe like 2019 and 2020, where it was quite a lot easier for him.
Yeah.
But if he becomes available, you don't say no.
No.
You know, at no point has Lewis shown that he's fallen off, in my opinion.
But also, Ferrari, he's not just a driver, he's got all that commercial value as well.
Yeah,
he's got the package.
We have said this 100 times. Lewis Hamilton is bigger than F1, And that is absolutely true. So, yeah, he's going to go to Ferrari. It's like the perfect package, the biggest team, the biggest driver, and the best driver.
Yep.
Coming together, it's like commercial heaven. And if Ferrari are able to give him a car, he will win a world championship. He will go head-to-head with Max Verstappen. So, do I think Ferrari are regretting the decision? No. Because it's Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah. Okay, answer me this. And I saw a good question. And obviously, you know my views on Carlos Sainz. I like him.
Yeah.
But I've seen a few tweets. Do you think Ferrari are regretting which driver they've replaced Hamilton with?
Yeah, you know, I thought this actually. You know, would it? I think the only thing is, right, is we've seen when Ferrari do have a competitive car, and I mean truly competitive.
Yeah.
You know, I know they're the second best car at the moment, but the second best means nothing if you're 0.3 a lap slower. We've seen who it is that steps up when they have a car that is competitive, and that's Charles Leclerc. So I don't really know how to give any other answer because, yeah, Carlos Sainz has had a good 5 races.
Yeah.
He missed one, so I don't know whether he's raced 5 and we've had 6 or whatever. But Leclerc is the man that has stepped up when it mattered.
Yeah.
So, no, I think they've made the right choice. And like I said,
we haven't even had 5 races, mate.
Have we not?
We've had 4.
Have we?
Bahrain, Saudi, Australia, Japan.
Holy fuck. You know, that's how long this season feels already.
I wasn't looking at you weird then. I was thinking when you said it could be 5 or 6, and I was like, have I missed a couple of races?
No, it's just every race feels like 1.5 races. No, so I think it's fair game. And look, if Ferrari had just kept the partnership, I would completely understand because it's a great partnership. But like I said, Lewis Hamilton comes knocking, you answer the door.
Exactly. Worrying news emerges for F1 2026 as simulator data raises active aero concerns. So
is this based on what I sent earlier in the chat?
I didn't see that. This is a separate thing here.
Okay, no, this could be good because I can build on this.
Okay, so recent F1 simulator sessions seem to indicate that all is not well when it comes to the 2026 chassis regulations. Work on honing the 2026 chassis regulations in light of the already existing power unit regulations continues space in the background, but recent simulator sessions are causing an alarm. So 2026 marks a major regulation change with the power unit regulations already decided while sticking with 1.6-litre turbocharged V6. The new
motherfuckers.
The new power units will see an increase in electrical output, so create a 50-50 split between the internal combustion engine and hybrid combustion components. With such an increase in electrification, the chassis changes required to make the formula work without a major compromise on performance. But according to reports, some of the teams have begun simulator testing the base spec car dubbed the Fangio, and the tests have not resulted in positive simulations. The reports asserts that sources say that the rear wing was in its most low drag configuration and the engine was at full power. The car was almost undrivable.
Yeah, so this is what I saw earlier, right? It said, and I quote, can we put some hold music on? Okay. Yeah, so I think this is actually a screenshot. So with multiple examples of drivers spinning on straights under acceleration or being unable to take the smallest of curves without the rear stepping out, This was triggered by a shift in aero balance that was estimated to be 3 times as much as it currently experienced when DRS is open. Yeah. One insider even suggested that the only way to prevent the cars from spinning was to drive so conservatively, here's the incredible part, that lap times ended up being slower than current Formula 2 machinery. So, what the hell is happening? Because every aspect of this sport seems to just be incorrect or going backwards. And
yeah.
Like, why, what the hell is going on? How have they got this wrong? How have we gone, how do the cars keep consistently going the wrong way? Why are we not making cars smaller and lighter?
Well, I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because I like the fact that we're trying a more sustainable route and all of this stuff. Okay, I like the fact that we're trying to do better for the planet. But by doing so, we've completely lost all the foundations of what F1 is about.
It's like, right, all right, I understand the planet thing.
Yeah.
I really do. But is F1 going down this route?
Is F1 bigger than the planet?
Is it really making that big a difference to the planet? Oh, some of you might call me ignorant. I don't give a shit, right? There are multi-billion dollar companies that are churning shit into the atmosphere, you know? And the same cunt that will call me ignorant on TikTok or on Instagram, it's the same prick that orders from Temu, gets it delivered by Evry. What, do you think that's good for the planet?
Southern Water dumping shit into the ocean?
Yeah. Look.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Fuck that, right? We have enough shit going on in this world that we have to deal with. Let's keep F1 as F1 so at least we can enjoy every fucking Saturday and Sunday, all right? And if you care that much, stop shopping at big supermarkets. Stop ordering from Amazon. Stop buying from ASOS. Stop buying clothes from Primark. Stop buying from Boohoo. Because you don't care that much, do you? The only person who can say anything about me being ignorant in saying that is someone that lives in a straw house and runs around wearing leaves. And they have a patch of vegetables that they live off. Right? I'm not having anyone else lecture me on this. Just give us F1 back, please. I want the car noises. I want tires going pop because they're not made well enough. Right? Because they can just bin them at the end. Now look. Right, on a serious note, there has to be some way that they can bring the sport closer to what it should be and what it, you know, what its sort of foundations are built upon without getting it so wrong. And there must be a way that we can make it, you know, sustainable. I know, like, in the future, the idea is synthetic fuels. Brilliant. Can we bring engine noises back with that? Like, can we have an F1 car that sounds like an F1 car? I assume, I don't know this for fact, the cars are bigger because they've got to have all this electric shit in. Like, the same reason like Teslas are humongous and weigh so much. But it's like, at what expense?
This is damaging, though. This is damaging for...
Just my last point on this, and I'll let you pick up. Don't lecture us on being better for the planet and then flying to every different corner of the planet each weekend rather than doing like a nice consistent calendar. Mm. I'm sure they could fucking be net zero just by having a calendar that makes logical sense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they seem to be all over the place, don't they?
Yeah. I don't know.
Is that the rant over?
The vant.
The rant. Yeah. I did say vant.
That is the rant over.
You're getting a bit red with that. You're a bit angry.
Well, I'm angry because I think us as people, we seem to always be the ones that suffer.
Okay.
Why do we have to suffer?
I feel like F1 has lost its identity of what it's about in the sense of competition, the drama. These drivers put, you know, they're the best drivers in the world. They know it's the risk. But I felt like we've just completely made it as safe as possible, and we're just in this position now where actually we're going a bit backwards. And for 2026, this is damaging. If these reports are true, this is truly damaging. And it's only for all teams at the moment.
You know what? I hope it's true, and I hope it happens. I hope every lap, every car's spinning out.
It'd be unpredictable, though. We'll have different winners.
It would be unpredictable. It'd probably make it a little bit more exciting. But
Logan Sargeant goes through because he's driving so slow, he can't get that enough speed.
Yeah, he can't even go quick enough to make the car spin out. No, I hope they get it so wrong.
Logan Sargeant wins the World Championship for the slowest driver.
I hope they get it wrong so we can be like, well, we told you you were fucking the sport up.
Yeah.
And now you've completely fucked it up.
Do let us know what your thoughts are. Do you feel like F1 has gone massively backwards? Do let us know. Other news, Aston Martin could oust Fernando Alonso and replace him with a race winner. Yeah. So there is reports. So if you're looking at Aston Martin, your first point would be, do you know what? You'd get rid of Lance Stroll.
Well, yeah.
That would make logical sense. However,
any sensible human
yeah.
with more than literally one brain cell would say, let's get rid of Stroll.
Yep, I agree with you. However, it looks like Fernando Alonso is the one whose seat is at threat, because they would like to try and replace him with, who do you think?
Yeah, well, it's Carlos Sainz.
Carlos Sainz, yeah.
Which, by the way, what a great business move. You know, let's try and sign Carlos Sainz.
Two Spaniards.
Perfect. But make sure you keep Alonso, because
he's the one who's going to take the team forward.
Yeah, what the hell has Alonso done over the last year to suggest that he's not the right man for the car?
And he's the number one driver in that team.
Yeah, he is. That would be, you know what? If they got rid of Alonso to get Sainz, but kept Stroll, I would genuinely pray for the downfall of that team.
It's a mockery.
Everything that went wrong for them, I would celebrate as if they were my own team. Because that is just unacceptable.
It is poor. It is poor.
And I understand it. Oh, his dad owns the team. Yeah, but at this point it's getting silly.
Yeah,
if that's what family does, then I don't want family. Do you know what I mean? If that's what it does to you,
we don't. Your mum, dad.
Lance Stroll is letting it ruin his team.
Yeah,
you know, over like loyalty.
Yeah,
and it's not even like, it's not clever loyalty. Like, I'll be real here, if I was Lance Stroll, I'd be going to my dad, right? I would say to my dad, like, I'm not good enough at this. Like, you've got to get someone in, mate. Like, I know you don't want to get rid of me, I'm your son, that's fine, but like, I respect my dad enough to be like, this isn't working.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's the level of like a normal human.
Yeah. Well, also with the reports of, you know, Lawrence Stroll offering Adrian Newey a ridiculous contract to go to Aston Martin.
Brilliant.
Why, if you're Adrian Newey, why would you go, do I leave someone like Max Verstappen, he's going to be a four-time world champion, and go and Lance Stroll?
Yeah. So no. here's the thing. It's like, I think Lawrence Stroll is great, right? Really good for the sport, and a really good owner, because he's happy to invest, right? Great. We've seen that he's incredibly ambitious. But what the hell is the point with Lance Stroll? Like, genuinely, there's no point having all this ambition.
Yeah. If you're not willing to make the big decisions and get the best drivers into your team, you are showing a lack of ambition, not just to the team, but to the sponsors, to F1. You're not going to be taken seriously because you're not investing in the best.
No, exactly. So, look, it's just incredible.
Would you like to hear our podcast ratings? Our, well, not ratings, but our charts.
That came out of nowhere.
Well, because I was just trying to, you know, liven it. Luke seems to be in a bit of a bad mood today, so.
No,
just...
I'm in a great mood, but I'll tell you what. It just pisses me off because I used to love race weeks.
Yeah.
Like, I used to get so excited. And I genuinely just don't have that anymore.
No, I think a lot of people are the same. It's
not even... I know people are going to sit here and be like, oh, it's just because Max is winning. It's really not. I genuinely could not care less if Max Verstappen won the next three championships.
Mm.
So long as... It wasn't like, oh, yeah, well, obviously he's going to win. So long as it was like, oh, my God, is... You know, there's three races to go. Charles is leading the championship, or Lando's leading the championship, yeah. Or Lewis, or George. And then if Max comes through and pips, fine. We've had a battle all season where we've been changing leaders, but oh, I can't do like another week of like the scintillating battle for P8. Oh, it's not exciting. Oh, Yuki Tsunoda and Esteban Ocon going for P12. Who's gonna get? I don't care. Like
Tsunoda doesn't go for P12s, 11s anymore. No. He's always P10s.
That is true.
He's a point scorer.
But do you see my point?
I get your point.
That stuff, right, becomes entertaining when you've got the other stuff.
Yeah.
And if it's the odd race, right, obviously every season we have the odd race where someone just dominates.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And then you latch on to the other stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, well, he's won it. But, like, you know, at least we had the battle here, the battle here, the battle there. And next week it'll be a different race anyway.
Yeah.
But it's just the same every time.
Right. Would you like to know our chart ratings?
Obviously, rankings. Every week we update you on where we are in the charts, normally in some random country in the world. Yep. So Matt is going to enlighten you.
So we went up 95 places this week.
Nice.
To number 40 in Australia fantasy sports.
Big up the Aussies.
Yep. We are number 3 in Argentina.
Nice. Are we moving up?
We were fourth last week, so yeah.
Nice.
We are number 9 in Greece.
Come on then.
Number 5 in Uganda.
Oh, we dropped.
No, we didn't. We were sixth last year.
Oh, I thought we were number 1 in Uganda. Okay.
We've dropped in Bermuda though. We're now 11th.
Ah shit, where were we?
We were 7th.
Not happy about that.
No, that was our biggest drop. 19th in Turkey. So that's right, isn't it? So there we go.
If we make it to number 1 in Turkey, you have to fly out there, get a new set of teeth and a head of hair.
And will you pay for it?
No, it's just a bet.
Well, it's not really a cool bet because I have to pay for it. Should we talk about fantasy? F1 fantasy? Because
yeah, and
talking about positive stuff, and I know we'll get back onto F1 in a minute, but...
Because then I want to discuss the topic of Mercedes and upgrades.
Okay. So, if you don't know, we have a fantasy team. And last week, I have to say, I did all right. I've now moved up in the league quite handsomely, I'd say. I'm now up to 15th in the league. Considering I was, 27th last week? Last week, I got 242 points.
242.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I was... So I had Alex Albon.
Yep.
Who got me minus 20.
Yep, and me.
Which really didn't help. I can't... Oh, wait, no, I can't see. I got...
Sergio Perez got me 99 points.
How?
Because I put the three times thing on him.
Oh, clever. See, I've always just got 2x on Max.
Oh, have you? Yeah, and no, I put it on him.
So I got Max, Hulk, Perez, Albon, Bottas.
Yep.
Hulk got me 10 points.
Yep.
Perez got me 33. Max got me 94.
Okay. Leclerc got me 62.
Yeah, Leclerc's a good one. I saw some of the guys that I race with. One of them did their, like, I can't remember what it's called, like free hit sort of thing, where you can have all the best in there. So he had like, who did he have? Oh, he had Max, Checo, Charles, Carlos, Lando, Red Bull and Ferrari.
Christ.
So like, and obviously the top five were them. Yeah. And obviously the top four were Red Bull and...
He must have been laughing.
Yeah, it literally couldn't have gone any better for him.
Well, Ferrari got me into 59 points and Aston Martin got me 32. Obviously, I increased it from Racing Bull last week to Aston Martin. I got Tsunoda, he got me 10 points. On a whole, I'm relatively happy with that, 242 points. And as I said, that does take me up to 15th. And actually, Luke, have I overtaken you?
No, I'm P11.
Oh, you are P11.
I'm going for points here.
So you're 667 points, I'm on 650.
What I will say...
I've made massive gains this week.
What I will say is John Siller is getting kicked. Because...
He's top three.
He is top three.
What the fuck? We got 46 peoples. Peoples? We got 46 peoples. Do get in touch. Let us know what your points were. I'm very happy with that, 242 points.
Wait, have you... Have you seen the guy that's bottom?
Latifi's agent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen his team?
No.
Nah, he's got to be taking the piss.
I know he's on 188 points.
Yeah, so he's got Yuki Tsunoda.
Classic.
Logan Sargeant. who's his, like, double points. Esteban Ocon. Lance Stroll. And K-Mag. So he's not even gone... I don't know, Albon instead of Sargent, and Alonso instead of Stroll, or Hulk instead of Magnussen. And then do you know what his teams are?
Williams.
And?
Haas.
Yeah.
Classic. What he's a team.
He's got 48.2 mil left. I don't think he... Like, you can't actually take that home, mate. Like, you've got to spend it.
Oh, just talking to something different. I'm actually potentially looking to go to Spa this year.
Nice. Did you get sucked in by that ad that came up?
No.
The Instagram one.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Oh.
No, I... Because me and my dad were thinking about it. And we might drive it. Go there, drive...
No, you can't drive, mate. You have to have an F1 car.
Hey. Yay, that was good. That was good. Yeah. No, we were hoping... We're thinking of driving there... And like the Thursday, Friday, go to qualifying, race. Be quite nice.
That would be quite nice.
Yeah. I've never been to Spa.
It'd be a good race to watch.
Yeah.
So, you know, of like, you know, circumstantially, no race is good to watch. But like, that is a track that would be good to go to at any point.
I agree.
When is Spa?
End of July.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
There'll be no podcast.
Why?
Because I'll be in Canada.
Are you?
Yeah.
How long are you away for?
2.5 weeks.
That's all right.
So you have to do one on your own.
That's all right. Welcome along. It's Matt.
Call it the and Matt. Try not to fall asleep challenge. No, but yeah, I won't be here.
Oh.
To discuss that with you.
That's right. Don't worry about it.
Maybe you could do a podcast with your dad.
Yeah. If you want that, let me know. Can you imagine? Let's quickly touch on Mercedes.
Can I just... Obviously, Australia, they were running experiments.
Yep.
Honestly, I don't even know what that means. Like, why have I never heard another team say that?
Because they're working out, they're using new terminology to try and show that actually they're not a shit.
So, obviously the idea was that it was so they could understand the car, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't understand why they're lacking. I'm not even really sure what this Mercedes is lacking, because it doesn't seem to have an issue with drag.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to have an issue with downforce necessarily, But there does seem to be a fluctuating issue between slow speed corners and high speed corners, where like one setup will be good for one, but not the other. So I don't know, if someone more intelligent has any idea as to what is wrong with this Mercedes, I would like to know. I'm sure Toto Wolff would like to know, to be fair, so maybe tell him before me. But Mercedes' first batch of upgrades is planned for Imola. The W15 is still very volatile, and perhaps only upgrades can help the team move in the right direction. Well, I don't know what's wrong with it. So
what are you bringing upgrades for if you don't know what you're actually bringing upgrades for?
What are we upgrading? Like,
well, let's haven't we discussed this before? Isn't it less like, you know, pick a mix? It's like, what do you want? New wing.
Yeah.
Give us a new wing.
It's like going outside, turning the key in your engine, it not working, being like, right, slap some new tyres on that.
Yeah. That'll get it working.
That didn't work. Let's replace the flywheel. No, still not working.
The phalanges?
Yeah, we'll do those as well. There's no logic to this team. They just...
Isn't it embarrassing? You've gone from I did actually do a TikTok on this the other day about, you know, Mercedes and where they're going. And Toto Wolff at the end of the race was like, you know, oh, we feel like we've got a better understanding now and it's only going to go forward from here. No, it's not. It's really not.
We've heard that every weekend.
For the last 3 years.
Yeah, since.
And we've got nowhere. We've got nowhere. And no one is more frustrated than us because, well, probably them as well, Lewis Hamilton. But, you know, as Mercedes fans, it is so... To go from being an 8-time Constructors' Champions to literally, at this moment in time, 4th, 5th best team on the grid.
Especially when we did actually make strides forward last season.
Yeah, and we've gone...
We were the second fastest team. It did look like that car was moving in the right direction, particularly when we went to Kota. I know the car got disqualified for being illegal, but there was actually a race on with Max there.
Yeah.
And then we've just taken how many steps back?
Many.
Now, the car's abysmal, to be honest. Like, it is. I said quite strongly last season, like, I'm not having anyone say that Mercedes is shit.
Yeah, you
it's
did,
just
you,
because the Red Bull is so quick.
You stood up for them a lot last year.
This one is shit.
Yeah.
So, fair enough. If they bring upgrades and they work, brilliant. I'll eat my words gladly. But I'm a little bit... It doesn't tie in with the narrative that we're being sold of, like, well, we don't really know what the issue is. All right, so how are you going to upgrade it?
Yeah.
You know, what does that mean? Does it actually mean it's a downgrade? We have to go backwards before we can go forwards? I don't know. But quite a lot of teams are planning to bring upgrades at Imola. I think that's actually where we are going to see a huge batch of upgrades last season. But obviously it got rained off. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. Because naturally I'm going to be getting... well too excited about these Mercedes upgrades, thinking that they're actually going to make a difference when they're not.
I've never met anyone who does get as excited as you.
Do you know what, that was because I genuinely had belief in the team. Now I don't. Like, I've got no belief in these upgrades. I don't think they're going to do a single thing.
I
because other teams are going to bring upgrades,
even if it does bring it something to it. It's only, in my opinion, going to make them potentially third best team on the grid, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of an improvement.
They might, you know, the thing is, they're lucky that Lance Stroll is in that Aston Martin.
Yeah, they'll be 5th best team.
Yeah.
Because when you look at it, when you look at, you know, Ferrari have made big strides this year. You know, they actually look good.
No, their car has improved and they have cemented that second place.
McLaren seem... third best team in the sense of they're being consistent, they're picking up good points. They got two drivers who are getting those points and going with that.
Seem to be a little stronger over one lap than I think they need to discover a bit more race pace.
Which is weird because last year that was Mercedes in the sense of they were not as good over one lap, but actually better during the race. But for some reason we've gone backwards with that, so
we just haven't got either of that.
No,
not good over one lap or 58.
So it's going to be interesting. They're going to have to change it around relatively quick, I think, otherwise it is going to be a walk in the park for Ferrari and McLaren and Red Bull. And even Aston Martin will come through with that. If Mercedes end up being the finishing fifth, for example, this year, where do you go from that? And I know you can go forward and all that.
I'm going the same place as Lewis Hamilton. I'm going to Ferrari, mate. So
we don't care where Mercedes go.
I genuinely... This season's a write-off for me already, right? I genuinely don't care what happens, because Merck would need some sort of turnaround, some never-seen-before turnaround.
Yeah.
While we're in the era of cost caps, to actually be able to pull something off it. It's just not going to happen. So there's no way Lewis can win the championship. That's fine. Look, I'm not an idiot. I wasn't expecting him to do it anyway before the season. I was just hoping that maybe we would have seen him at least win a race or two.
Yeah.
That's really what I was hoping for this season. But we're not going to get that. So I kind of just don't care what happens this season. I'll watch every race because I'm an idiot. But am I going to be, you know, as invested as I have been previously? Probably not.
No.
Like, I don't look at F1 Twitter nearly half as much as I have done.
Yeah.
Like, over the previous years. Because I just think, well, nothing you can say is going to really interest me.
But don't worry, guys. Next week, we'll be back. We'll be more positive. It'll be race week. Heading to Canada.
Heading to Canada?
Yeah.
Are we?
Next race is Canada.
We're heading to Canada.
China.
There you go.
Heading to China. So, you know, it'll be more positive next week. A lot of, you know, excitement. Luke, you know, I'll work on him this week, try and, you know, throw him some really good F1 content. Look, did you watch the 2003 Brazilian Grand Prix?
No, I haven't yet. I'll watch it this evening for sure.
Well, you're going to watch the football tonight?
Oh, yeah, no, I am going to watch the football tonight.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to watch... The thing is, the Madrid City game will probably be like a higher quality game.
Yeah.
But I want to see Harry Kane pump Arsenal at the Emirates.
I was meant to be going out, but now my friends dropped me. So I won't be watching them.
No.
But anyway.
Well, you can't watch it at home.
I don't have TNT. Yeah, don't have TNT, mate. such a dick. So that's it. That's the end of the podcast. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed it, and hopefully it hasn't been too depressing for you. So
get involved. If you're angry, DM us and tell us you're angry. Not with us. I don't care if you're angry with us because it's been negative. I mean, DM us if you're angry about the current state of F1 as well. You can keep your opinions to yourself about the podcast, but unless it's a 5-star rating that you're going to give us right now, to wherever you are listening to us.
But yeah, have a good week, and we shall see you next week, previewing China. And I'm excited to go back to China. I am excited. It's a great track.
It is a great track. And it
a lot of unknowns for teams, because remember, it's a sprint weekend.
It is a sprint weekend. Do you know what time the sprint race is?
7 to 8 in the morning.
No, that's what time qualifying is. The sprint, I believe, is at 4:30 a.m.
No. Is it? Is it? Let's have a butcher's. Because
you're about to tell me that. Oh, you're right. Oh. Copyright strike.
What time did you say?
4:30.
You're wrong. It's 4 till 5.
Oh.
you're wrong. The sprint
you just said it was 7 till 8.
Yeah, no, I was thinking of qualifying's actually 8 till 9. Not 7 to 8. Don't know where I got that from. But sprint qualifying is 8:30 till 9:14.
What? Oh, yeah. Sprint qualifying.
Yeah. So remember, these teams have only got, you know, one practice session, and that's it. That's all they're working with. So Who knows what we're dealing with? We know Max will win.
Yeah, I know what we're dealing with.
But hey, the battle for P2 is really exciting, so stay tuned for that.
You know what? Not even that's exciting at the moment. Checo seems to win.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
all right, I'm going to end the podcast here because he's really negative today and he needs a good talking to. So have a good week and we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.